Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks where I show you exactly how to live your design.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Human Design Podcast. There's someone I wanted to introduce you to. That is another one of our incredible sponsors on the program, our Millions of Millionaires mission. That is to make sure that we do everything that we can to support entrepreneurs and small businesses so that they can create the business of their dreams. So the amazing Heather Ivany is here with me. Many of you might have heard of Heather on our podcast. It was an awesome episode. I probably should know the number off my top of my head, but I don't. I'm sure that's no surprise to you guys. So go check out the podcast. But Heather, welcome to the podcast again.
Oh, I'm super excited to be back, Emma. Yeah, we have so much fun when we get together and you have such a brilliant audience. So it's an honor to be back in your company again.
Oh, thank you. And you're absolutely right. I'm so grateful for my audience. I really am. They are such a beautiful bunch of humans. I'm really grateful. Now, when you actually, we did a session together, I know that your speciality, although you're a spiritual mentor, you have, you know, experience with yoga, you have experience with the Akashic records, you have experience with energy healing. I'm sure there is it, there even Reiki in there. Like there's a list, there's a long list. And one of the things that I know now is a real speciality of yours is purpose. So how do you help people with their purpose?
Yeah. So when we talk about purpose, there's sort of 3 main ways that I look at this. One is Our soul has a timeline, right? And it's connected to higher dimensions in the all-knowing realm. And then our soul is also connected to our incarnated self. So it's got this connection to oneness and it's got this connection to individuality. So if someone really wants to work on their connection to consciousness and be fulfilled with their feeling connected to the bigger picture, then that's when I work with the Akashic records with people. I show them how to read their own records. I show them how to read other people's records. And then you can even go into the Akashic records of your business, current events, plants, animals, anything that has a consciousness has a record connection connected to it. And then if someone is more honing in on like, what is the purpose in this particular lifetime that I'm in? So their incarnated purpose, I work with a program called Unlocking You. It's also a 3-month long program, same as the Akashic training, but this one's designed specifically to help keep people from being distracted by the periphery, give them tools to hone into their midline, and then amplify their purpose and help them to fulfill it in this lifetime.
Oh my goodness, that sounds so exciting, far out. And so what do they learn? Are they is it Akashic records? What else do they learn in that program?
Yeah, so the Unlocking You program, so what I've done with that one is I've taken sort of the 25 years of teaching yoga, and I've taught multiple different types of teacher training programs. But what I did is I pulled from the philosophy of the wisdom of these thousands of years of yoga and pulled out, like, what are the tools that everyone can benefit from if they want to be more connected to themselves? So we work with intention that is, like, more powerful than just an affirmation or wishful thinking. I show people how to really hone in on how to work with intention at certain times a day so it's more amplified.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and then phrase it into, like, a positive I am statement, because I am is the language of the universe and it's the language of present moment. So those two points bring us into a very amplified experience of intention. Mm. And then inevitably, when someone's wanting to shift and change and transform, resistance is going to show up. So I show individuals how resistance is actually your ally and not your enemy, and how to work with it to create opportunity and change. We create boundaries, because most people have really strong boundaries with other people, but maybe not with themselves, or they have it with the human dimension, but they don't have it with the energetic dimension. So we work with boundaries in those three ways. And then we also play with meditation in a form that is personalized to the individuals that I'm working with. Because meditation can be, for some people, just walking barefoot in nature. And for others, it's like a 40-minute transcendent experience. So I just let it be very personalized.
I love
that. And then
that.
Rest is the final element, because we get so excited in this human form that we forget that it requires rest and cup filling and nourishment. So I work with Yoga Nidra to show people how to amplify the rest space.
Wow. I love all of that. And as you were talking through, like, so much of that resonates as well. You know, I love how you are making it sort of unique to the each individual that's part of the group. So can you share the sort of results that people are getting? I know that for me personally, when we had our session together, I was blown away. Like, I was blown away at what was shared with me, and what the results that I got is that instant, like, oh my God, I can trust this. I can really trust this subtle energy that I get, this feeling, this knowing, you know, keep going. So for me, it was really profound in that place. Are there other results that you might be able to share, some other stories?
Yeah. So sticking with the Unlocking You program, oftentimes when people start to really hone in on themselves and their aligned purpose, they become more confident and courageous to make changes in their life. So I've had individuals go from, one woman was an accountant that eventually moved into doing, becoming a doula for palliative care, which is beautiful.
Yeah, wow.
I've had individuals, one woman went, she's a clinical psychologist, and she moved from working in sort of a system-based employee situation to being able to branch out on her own and create her own private practice. And then in that, she offers Akashic sessions within her counseling session. So it gave her more freedom to express her healing energies in the way that she felt more authentic to herself.
I love that.
So those are some of the results with the Unlocking You. And then what's most fun with the Akashic training is people get really nervous before it starts, thinking, oh, what if I can't do this? Or what if I can't read someone else's records? I've never had anyone go through that isn't able to read the records by the time we're done. And so that alone is mind-blowing, because a lot of people think when they're in sessions, healing sessions, they think that it's some sort of a gift that someone has that makes them able to be able to work with energy in the way that they do. And honestly, it's a skill set that just needs to be honed in on and practiced and consistently practiced, and it's curated and sort of pulled out from the individual and expressed. So I love those transformations. And then the third signature program that I have is called Sovereign Leadership. And this is working with the energetic realm to support the entrepreneur that wants to amplify their income. So I've seen people go from 5Xing to 10Xing their income per month, just working the resources that are around them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That sounds, I feel like I want to sign up to all of them. I'm all in with you, Heather. You've been such an incredible person to work with. I'm also like, I really want to have a session and let's look at my business's Akashic records. That sounds so exciting. So how can people get in contact? Obviously, we're going to put all the links in the show notes, but how can people find you?
Yeah, the best way is just to go to my website, and it's simply my name, heatherivany.com. That's the easiest way. All of my programs are on the homepage there under the little tab offering. Most of them start in September, end of September, early October, and they'll repeat in the new year as well if it feels a little bit too rushed for anyone starting soon. I also have a retreat in November in Cellulita. So this is for the individual that has done a lot of the growth work and just wants to be in the experience. So it's called Harmonize, and it's working with nature. It's working with body movement, meditation, Akashic, fire ceremonies. You don't have to be an expert in any of them. You just have to have a willingness and a desire to want to attune and harmonize to your own heart song. So that's in November. And then the other way people can get in touch with me would be through Instagram. And it's just my name, Heather_Ivany. So yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, people, you have to go and check out all of these programs. The retreat sounds amazing too. I feel like I want to go on every single retreat that I speak to, like all the people in my world. I want to go there. I want to be on all of them. So if this has lit your fire, if you're excited, if you're curious, if you're a little bit obsessed with Heather, like I am, go and check out the show notes and find the program that's going to suit you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Heather.
Hey, everyone. I am super excited about today's episode. But how's Heather Ivany? Oh, my goodness. How good is she? Have you checked out the podcast episode? If you're wondering who this incredible sponsor of ours is because you missed the episode, please go back. It's not that long ago. And she's an incredible Akashic Records reader and teacher, amongst many other things. So, yeah, I'm super pumped to have her as part of our sponsorship crew, I suppose. So, yeah, woohoo. Hey, as I record this, it is a big day in history. The Queen, Queen Elizabeth, has died. And, you know, it's funny because as I record this, the previous 24 hours has been an incredibly emotional 24 hours for me. You know, not that anything specific, just a really emotional time and working through some old stuff. And then when I found out this morning that Queen Elizabeth had died, oh my God, I cried. I don't even know where it came from. I just did. And you know, it made me think I am not a monarchist. Yet I don't necessarily see that I'm a Republican. I have had Queen Elizabeth as a part of my upbringing, sort of in the background. Being Australian, she is our monarch, or was our monarch. And although I kind of, you know, I love the Netflix show just as much as the next person, I suppose because of the nature of the world that we live in today and how we're moving towards this new way of being, and she probably did represent in many ways the old ways of being, I just got to say, what a kick-ass woman, right? What a kick-ass woman. I can only imagine that her position that she took on, that clearly she took incredibly seriously, was, you know, made all the better for her. And it wouldn't have been easy going through the years of change that she was the monarch. So for all of you out there that are really mourning Queen Elizabeth, sending lots of love. She was a incredible human being, incredible woman. And I think she really marks, or this really marks, another one of these pivotal moments in human history where big fundamental change is taking place. So, yeah, hold on to your hats, people. Hey, in this episode, I actually interview Elizabeth Ralph, who is the wealth coach. You've heard me talk. If you are working with me in any way, you've been listening to the podcast, you've been probably heard me say I'm working with a wealth coach at the moment. And we actually recorded this episode quite a while ago. For those of you who are paying close attention, you will hear beautiful Bailey dog in the background having a bit of a bark. And bless his cotton socks. And this was before I started working with Elizabeth Ralph. And oh my God, oh my God, I'm going to bring you another episode. Don't you worry about that. But check this one out. It's all about money, wealth, prosperity, and this beautiful blend that she brings to the world of money, trading, and spirituality. It's just been a game changer for me. I feel so free to be abundant my way working with her as a coach. It's been a game changer. Now, at the end, I actually finished the episode, but I forgot to press stop on the recording. And because the conversation after it was pretty freaking cool, we've kept it in just for you because I know it's going to help you and support you on your journey. And I will just say, it was also a day that I had a bit of a sore throat and I had a big coughing fit. So please excuse that. For those of you who have been paying attention, yes, my throat has got so much better. And it can definitely handle the workload now, but this was just one of those days. So buckle up, enjoy the ride. And again, one more thank you to all those amazing humans that left more 5-star reviews, both on Spotify and Apple this week. You rock. I love you. Thank you so much. So enjoy this episode, everyone. And, may you be more abundant and prosperous after listening to it.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today we have someone super exciting. She's actually a coach that I'm just about to start working with, and I'm super pumped about growing my wealth and abundance. And, you know, like I've been on my money journey for a really long time, and you're going to hear a lot about my money journey today because I've been listening to Elizabeth Ralph's podcast and being like, that was me, and just being in this place of, oh my God, for the first time in my life, I'm working with a financial coach, a wealth coach, where I'm coming from a place of, actually, I've got this. Like, it's a really different state for me. So we're going to talk about that. I'm super excited about it. Welcome to the podcast, Elizabeth Ralph.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm more excited about, talking to you today or our journey that is about to begin and explode and change both of our lives. I mean, honestly, you know, like it's when we work with people, especially when we work in like, you know, a direct container like this, it's like we affect each other. And I think that's one of the most abundant, beautiful things about even creating businesses like that is just this level of connection and learning and the self-reflection that we get from that, which is all part, actually self-reflection is a big part of the wealth journey.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that. And I feel so similarly to that with my journey, you know, with all the people I get to work with, you know, it's definitely a two-way street and it's freaking exciting and I love it. Now, before we get into your story of, you know, what brought you here to today, we of course have to let all the listeners know that you're a manifesting generator with emotional authority, a 4-6 profile, and a vessel of love. And like I said to one of my HDX crew last night, we had a hot seat session, and she was asking about work and should she move into retreats. And I was like, here's the thing. You're a vessel of love. So the fact that you're in a room with any people, you're already serving the world because to be in your aura is so freaking awesome. So it's super exciting. And do you know what I also love? Again, I'm already getting into the human design piece. I'm jumping ahead. It's really about you, not about me, but I'm overexcited. Is that I was looking at your chart earlier and in your Jupiter on both sides, and you've got a lot of money indicators. You've got the channel of money. You know, you're a single definition, you've got all of these things that kind of say, yeah, that you could see how your story plays out. But between being the cross of the vessel of love being all about money, because I feel like love and money are not things that have integrated really well in the past. But that is, I would definitely say it's one of your superpowers, where you've integrated love and money together, and real love, not just, you know, I love stuff love. But in your Jupiter, and Jupiter is like our wealth, prosperity, luck, that you have the 55, which is the gate of abundance, and you have the 22, which is the gate of grace. And these are the two gates that are going to have the biggest impact as we kick off the new paradigm. And the fact that it's in your Jupiter, it's kind of like, wow, you really are this catalyst of a completely new way, and being a line six, a completely new way to vision and see things, and money being such a challenging topic for so many people right now, or always have been, especially as we wake up to our power and we're all being told we can have all the money that we want, but we're in this place of, yeah, but how do we do that? I think you're just an amazing leader in this space. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your journey. Like, how did you actually get to where you are today?
Well, you know, it's always, it's never a linear journey. And I think maybe you and I have talked about this before, where if anyone looks back on all of the beautiful things that have happened in their life, it never happens in the freaking time that we think it is. Like, yet we superimpose time on money going forward, going, oh, it's going to take me 2 years to make money in my business, that kind of thing, right? So same thing, where I actually did set a timeline way back when. So I worked on a trading floor, and I traded oil and natural gas, and I built financial products for some corporations here in the United States, like a lot of the big ones, Chevron, Kroger, you know, all these. And it was a great, great gig. Believe me, like when I got hired in this company and I sort of moved my way to the front office, which I had sort of pinpointed as that's the best place to be, because I actually came in as like a software engineer type person. So like more of the meet back end, right? And then I started looking around and I was like, oh, wait, that's the best job. Like when you're actually talking to people and you're part of the profit for the company, right? So anyways, I started taking the financial exams. They were paying for it anyway. I was like, no brainer. I was like, okay, you know, I like school. Give me the exams. And then with the, just in a few years, I was like, okay. And I loved the people that I worked with. I mean, I really thrived. I love working in a team. That was one of the things that really tripped me up when I became an entrepreneur, is like, I missed that whole like container of a team. But then after a while, it was the 12-hour days. Then it was this 14-hour days. Then it was the call on Sunday. Oh, you got to fly to New York because we have a client there tomorrow that you need to be in the office on Monday there. So then it was kind of like that. And then it became really one of these environments where like it was almost like the more I moved up in the company, the more I felt like I needed to be a puppet.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realized that I was like losing who I was, like, and I suddenly realized that that was a big cost. So it wasn't like I was having to lie or do anything like that. I was just basically having to sit in a room and just sort of have conversations that I was just not super jazzed by. And then that started to sort of acclimate and add up. And I'm just the type of person where I'm very in tune with those things, right? And yeah, don't want to do that. So I
so resonate with that. That was me in my advertising career. Absolutely. You know,
yes,
and just like yes, skyrocketed to the position I wanted to get to, and just was in a place where I was like, yeah, I just have to fake it and sit in front of clients that want me to say a certain thing. They don't actually want my opinion. They don't actually want my wisdom or my expertise. They just want me to do as I'm told. And I can remember thinking, yeah, this is not for me.
Same thing. So then I was actually in Australia, and because, you know, my wife is from Australia. So I, you know, we used to go there yearly at least. And we had a little caravan. And so we were driving, and this was just south of Sydney. So not as far as like Mundina area, but just south of Sydney. And we, of course, you know, the beaches there are amazing, because you get out of the city and it's like they feel private, right? You're like, okay, where is it going, right? So we're sitting there. We took the little, you call them an esky. We took the esky like down to the beach, and we're sitting down there. And I hear this rustling like in the brush, like behind us. And I'm thinking, oh God, is that like some lurker or something, right? But it wasn't. It was a kangaroo.
I love
and
it.
So kangaroo hopped out and we were sitting there. It was like, we were the only people there. We had our two towels down. And I was like, my wife's like looking at this going, this kangaroo is really not going to hop up to us. Right. Like, cause you know how kangaroos are. And me, of course, I'm like, my eyes are huge. Cause I'm like, I've never seen a kangaroo before this close. Right.
I love it.
Sure enough, comes right up, like, you know, toes on the end of the beach towel and is like looking at us. And so we had a bag of twisties. And so I literally, I had my hand out and and it goes boop and it picked up and put it in its mouth. And I was like, okay, there's something weird. I've always been connected to animals, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like kind of like messages come through animals kind of thing. And I looked at this kangaroo. And I was like, you know what? This is the smartest freaking kangaroo I've ever seen because they're born to be afraid of people. Yet this kangaroo is like literally creating its own freedom. It's like, oh, I'm just going to live off, you know, cheese and crackers or whatever from the people
on
the beach.
Oh my God, I love that. You see the world like I do. Like it's one big story, one big metaphor. I freaking love this.
So I was like, that was like, it was like lightning went through my body at that point. And I was like, okay, all I have to do is just like buy my way out of corporate. And I'm like, you know what? What's the big deal? I just need to cover my cost of living. It's not like I need to fly around on private jets. I don't really care. Like, let me just buy my way out of my cost of living. So that I was like, I want to create the freedom that I'm seeing in front of me in the kangaroo. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing cascaded on the airplane back. I wrote the original wealth plan, which it was going to take me 10 years. It ended up taking me 8 to reach financial freedom. My version, which I always tell people, like, define your own, which was I wanted to cover my long-term retirement so I wouldn't be like an old person kicked out in the street. And then I wanted to cover my basic cost of living. I'm not talking about like, you know, like a bunch of travel and stuff. I'm talking about mortgage bills, just nothing to worry about. Right.
Yeah.
And I was able to do that, but that was really like the beginning of it.
I love what you say, and you say it over and over again. It probably seems so simple to you, but I love the term, I wanted to buy my way out. I just think that that is so like, you know, everything in me is about taking your power back. And that is such a powerful statement, you know, like, hang on a second. No, I don't have to sit here and be your puppet. I can actually use the system to buy my way out and, you know, be the leader in my own life and, you know, have the power back in my own hands. And every time I hear it, I swear it just lights me up. I'm like, I just love that idea of like, cause that's what it sort of brings up in me is like, I'm going to use your system to create my freedom instead of the system using you. And I think that that's just, I just love it. Every time I hear you say it, so good. I want to go back to something that you said and earlier on about this connection between money and time. And this is something for me that I think is, I actually talk about it in my abundance and purpose and abundance program. And like we've run a couple of these already. And I just know like that whole thing's going to morph after I've worked with you. It's going to be so fucking exciting. Like I'm already excited about the next iteration of something, which is months and months away. It might even be next year now. But I talk about money and time in there as well, because one of the things that I realized is the more under pressure I feel with time, the more I would notice that I would live in scarcity. And because I was in scarcity in time, I was in scarcity in money. And this kind of leads me to this statement, this thing that you said on one of your podcasts is that you said that we need to be more connected to the frequency of money than the emotion. And that really sort of hit me because I was like, oh my God, that's exactly, even for where I've come already, that's one of the big shifts is like the frequency of money versus the emotion that I had around money. Could you really talk to people, like define what's the difference between the frequency and the emotion? And perhaps how are people getting stuck in the emotion and therefore not aligning to the correct frequency?
Yeah, oh, that's so great. I think that the language of money that we currently speak now, and that is basically based on our past and the way that we were ingrained with the dogma about around money, because money really has infused us with a lot of scarcity, fear, and things that really make us feel pinned against the wall and make us make, you know, like decisions we may not otherwise make, you know, even a lot of entrepreneurs, they're thinking, oh my God, the revenue goals, the revenue, all that. Right. So I think that, you know, in terms of money, actually that whole aspect of it, which would be more of the emotional tie with it, which is fear to not have money. Like all of us have like things we can think of with our parents, right? Where it was just like things that they said, which we didn't even realize was like, you know, hammering our belief system in, right? But I think that the language of the future, the next era for us, is going to be so ingrained with money as frequency that it is literally not even going to make sense when we hear conversations from today. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to make, we're going to be so in tune with that, that it's not going to make sense that anyone would ever be afraid that they wouldn't have money when all they have to do is to open themselves as more of a conduit to money, create more of a connection. I mean, we've never seen anyone who is so known for what they do. And this person that you look at and you're like, oh yeah, they're a storyteller through and through, right? Or whatever it is. We've never met anyone that is known for what they do that ever has to worry about not having money coming into their life, because they're such a conduit. They're pulling, they're drawing that in. And that's the language that we are going to speak because we want to speak it already, especially mm-hmm. spiritual entrepreneurs. They're seeking this and they're seeing these connections between, you know, whether it's unconditional love, neutrality, like these concepts that we've learned from spirituality, they're seeing the parallel between that and money. And they're now connecting that money, instead of us just saying money is energy, we're feeling money is energy now.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so many things just came up for me that I want to respond to. I'm like an excited child. But one of the things that I actually want to talk to about your journey that I kind of jumped into early is what your superpower is actually bringing money into the spiritual realm, because you've actually done the work to sort of do all the spirit, you know, do all the spiritual work and learn, you know, with a guru and then apply that to money. And I think this is why I've been so drawn to you. And the book that actually really changed my relationship with money was, it's called Love Money, Money Loves You. And it was this completely different way of looking at things. It was a lot more spiritual. And when I first spoke to you, I was like, oh my God, this sounds like that book, but backed up with, you know, yes, you can come to money from this spiritual direction, and you can have all these structures in the background that feel so much better than being at school, which was always my experience. Like, it's like I was sort of being, you know, I had to do things in a certain way. So what I'd really love to sort of hear about your journey and, you know, what you do today is this piece of how money, which has been this very masculine, you know, the power is not in our hands, you have to do it this way, and how you've put that together with spirituality, which is the feminine, which is more about trust and faith and allowing, and how you've kind of married the two together to create the way you teach people to build wealth and abundance. I'd really love to hear a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, well, it definitely happened for me, and it happened to me kind of at the same time, like right around that, probably like 5 to 6 years into when I had already established like the wealth plan, right? So obviously I had the background to be able to design the wealth plan. I was meeting the goals revenue wise. But then what happened is I got really depressed. I was like, I can't do this, because again, going back to, I felt like I was sort of trading who I was. And then the dollars in the bank account, just, it wasn't feeling like it was enough, you know? So around this time, that's when I did end up meeting my guru, who he came over. He actually ended up working at the same company. He was from India, and he was like giving me all these like crazy books with like, you know, Indian guys with like a sheet on, like half a sheet. I'm like, don't those people, can't they buy clothes? Right. Like he and I had, like, we would laugh our asses off. We had such the same sense of humor. Right. So it was a win-win situation because he and his wife were desperately trying to integrate themselves into the San Diego life as being very traditional and hit the statues on the desk and everything. So it was like I was helping him and he was helping me. And around this time, it made me feel happy, right? Just to be able to read some of this stuff, even though I really didn't understand it at the time. All I knew was that I felt happier, at least when I was focused on that stuff. Also, a second thing happened around the same time is that's when horses came into my life. Mm. And so my wife had always been around horses, but we lived in the city and I ended up seeing a horrible video about them slaughtering horses down in Mexico and things like that. And I was like, oh my God, I have to do something. So then what happened is that became my why. That became, okay, I had an incentive. I had something bigger, Emma, than me. Mm. And yeah. That is, you know, I think, you know, in terms of like the listeners here, like that was really the wind beneath my sails, if you will, was really getting clear on that why, because then that was like, oh, the money has a purpose beyond just, you know, that what it was doing.
Yeah.
And so by the time I did leave corporate and, you know, we bought this beautiful horse ranch and everything, when I decided to teach money, I could not teach it any other way because my journey, in other words, I wouldn't have made it if it was just about money. If I hadn't had the two running in parallel and the way that they were playing off of each other, I don't think I would have had this success. And really what I'm teaching is exactly that, right? It's sort of the merging of the two. And the thing is that I don't think that a lot of people realize is that your money journey can actually be part of your spiritual evolution. Because money is such a strong point of awareness. What makes us feel more afraid and more all of these emotions, what we talked about. And so you can use money as a way to bring awareness into the moment, as well as a strong point of self-reflection. Mm. And so I'm basically teaching the two at the same time, but each one is elevating and escalating the other.
I love that because it also blows up that old paradigm idea that, you know, money's bad or wealth, you know, rich people are shitheads or, you know, whatever. And I've often thought, because I grew up in an environment where it was kind of weird because very middle class, went to private school, but because of the nature of where we lived and the school I went to, I still felt like the poor kid because they were extremely wealthy families. And what was crazy is through a lot of my money journey, I always thought, well, I must have really limiting beliefs and bad beliefs or unresourceful beliefs about wealthy people. And I'd always try and heal these things, but that wasn't true because my experience of wealthy people, that they were all really nice and they did things for everybody. And, you know, they were very kind people. They were funny people. And so, you know, even when I went through my money journey, I made all these assumptions about these blocks that I had. And I went to so many energy healers and they'd go, you don't have any blocks to money. You don't have any blocks to money. And I used to think this was really weird, you know, like, well, why don't I have it? And one of the crazy things for me that I've now discovered that I just love is that A, it was because I wasn't doing the work that I love. That's the fundamental truth for me. It's been one of my biggest lessons is that money comes to me really easily when I'm doing what lights me up, you know, it really is. I'm a gate 40 in my personality earth, which just basically means I'm someone who loves to work. I love to work. But it was that piece that I'd always been forcing myself to do the things that I didn't want to do, even down to the point where when I try to force myself to market in a certain way, I don't earn as much money. But if I just get excited about the thing that I'm doing, you know, like we have to turn people away. So I've really had this journey with money myself is that I was like, wow, I'm starting to get this frequency piece. I'm starting to really get this frequency piece. And I still haven't mastered. So we're going to be talking about this. The one thing I haven't like mastered, there's lots of things I haven't mastered, is that, you know, when it comes to, you know, financial goals, I set financial goals and I kind of hit them. But there is still like there's something in this whole, the more I try to focus on something like a financial goal, my mind is way too involved. Like it's way too involved and we kind of don't hit it, or we don't hit it. But if I just get into that place where I'm like, all right, well, I just know I want to serve as many people as possible. I'd love to have this many people in the thing. And I'm just excited about changing those lives. Then any goal that we even kind of had is just massively surpassed. So it's really been learning to, the word that just came in is trust money, like trust that it'll turn up. And I feel like, you know, that's one of the things that as I go to each level and level, it's like it's a deeper trust, it's a greater trust. In your experience, like, and I want to bring it back to, because I know a lot of the listeners are probably feeling like, well, that's all well and good for you, but I'm in this place where I want to be calling in more money. How can people start to move from this really mental identified, I've got to get this, like one thing I see on Instagram a lot and feels really icky to me is the whole make $10,000 a month, you know, like this, all of these people marketing to, you know, like you should make this much money. And it feels really icky to me. And I sometimes wonder like, oh, is that just my belief systems or is that the way I'm aligned? But I really believe that there's better ways to go about, you know, earning money, attracting money, and being in the frequency of money. So let's say someone comes to you, Elizabeth, they say, right, I want to move from corporate. I want to start my own business, but I don't have the money. What can they start doing on their own to really start to transition into this place that they can start to receive money for, you know, the new business, for showing up in a new way, whatever it is? How can they start to build that trust as well?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that we do, and all of us are guilty of this, this is something like money is a practice. So this is something you kind of have to practice your way out of, but something that someone can start doing is when we set a revenue goal, typically what we do, whether we're attached to the amount or whether we're attached to the process, like different people are going to sort of focus their attention at different points of the spectrum. Whichever one it is, that in itself is actually creating the resistance for the money because we've created that based on the past.
Love
and
that.
And so, yeah. And so the first thing that you can do is go, okay, I've got the revenue goal. Great. That is just the structure. You almost don't need that anymore. What you need to do then is you need to blow open the doors in terms of how many ways can this money come to me? Because it's our belief that it can only come to us that one way that is blocking it.
I freaking love that. And it's so my experience, you know, not being attached to it has to come this way. It's so true. I think that's really powerful. I love that. Thank you. You talk about money neutrality and a lot. What does that mean?
Money neutrality is basically, it's similar, you know, Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about where, you know, people go on the emotional spectrum and how whether we're at the high or whether we're at the low, like we're still in some ways have these points of resistance. I almost think of it like a shaded area, like almost above and below that, right? And so whenever you drop into those areas, because a lot of people can feel like they can actually have money beliefs that are quote unquote good and accepted by society that are still money blocks. Like an example would be, you know, I've had people come into the program and they're like, oh, I know money flows to me easily. Money flows to me whenever I want it because I have things in my life and I have a roof over my head and all these things. Like, yeah, that's great. But your belief that money flows to you easily has allowed you to not actually look at your money or take some of that cash that you've been getting in and turn it into wealth. So that's actually, it's effectively created a block. So whether we're looking at positive or negative, the moment that we start with the comparisonitis, the moment we start with the judgment, the moment we start even with the what we just said, which is it has to come to me one way, then we're sort of migrating away from that neutral area, that neutral zone. And so when you're in that neutral zone, you can feel this too in conversations with people, because money, conversations, we're all talking about the same energy. Mm. But when someone really doesn't care whether you're going to work with them, you're not going to work with them, you're going to come to their house, you're going to give them something, you can feel that and you're much more open, and they occupy a certain place in your beingness. And so as an entrepreneur, it is getting into a practice where when we practice money neutrality, we are automatically, it doesn't matter we're at the grocery store or where we are automatically opening ourselves to more of the opportunities for money to flow through us simply by the state of being that we're in.
I love that. I love that metaphor because I know exactly what you mean, that feeling that someone is not attached to.
It's power, isn't it?
My God, so much. And you know what's really interesting? I feel like that was one of the things that, especially with, you know, I started my business as a one-on-one clients and workshops. And I remember learning and practicing really early on, just being in that place of like, if they're meant to be for me, then they'll sign up. And if they're not, they're not. You know, I've done everything I possibly can. And that's not to say that I didn't do the work and, study and you know, do everything that I could to make the sale. But in the same breath, it was like, whatever. And I always remember that the moment I was attached, it just never worked. And or the clients that I was like, I really have to get this client. And then I get two sessions in, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to be working with this client, you know, like that forcing energy. So I think that I love that description of money neutrality. It's gone. Undefined Ajna. I was going to say something else, but it doesn't matter. The next thing I want to ask you is one of the things people say all the time is you can have as much money as you want. Yeah, you can have everything that you want. And I'm always curious, you know, I'm like, can we, is that true? Is it part of our destiny? I kind of don't believe in you've got a fixed destiny, but of course I'd say that because I've got an open G center. Can people really have all the money that they want, in your opinion?
Yes and no. So yes, they can have all the money they want if it comes from the subconscious. No, they cannot have all the money that they want if it comes from the conscious, because the conscious is based on the limited thinking mind. And sometimes we think, oh, I want all this money. Oh, I'm doing all of these things. I'm visualizing, I'm journaling, I'm doing all of these things. But in reality, they haven't actually tapped into that crossover point where the subconscious is not seeing the limited belief of money as fact. Because the wanting is their truth on the forefront. Yeah. The limited belief is what the subconscious is seeing as fact. And so it's the repatterning that has to come in. It is the practice. It is all of that. Like, money in the future will be a practice. Money in the past was an act of doing.
Oh, my God.
We're completely going to speak a different money language.
I love that. And how do you see, like, as we move towards the new paradigm, we talk about we're moving into a time where there is going to be abundance. Abundance is going to be redefined. I don't know, we've had this sort of conversation because within the new paradigm, one of the gates of the new paradigm is the gate of abundance. The gate of abundance doesn't speak to money per se, but it speaks to like an abundant spirit. So it's really this energy of being able to be almost like the ultimate creator, that when I'm aligned to spirit, then I have more than I need or want. Is that sort of in alignment with the way you see money in the future?
Yes, because you're not actually going to think about money in the future. Money is going to be something that is just something that comes to us and will be a result of that. I mean, even now, if you look at like even just the money in circulation, there's $3 trillion in circulation of physical money and there's $50 trillion in credit. We are already living in an energy money world. We just haven't really sort of like formulated that, right? So yes, in the future, I think that absolutely it is going to be completely more of that energetic language, and that we're actually going to put more emphasis and focus. And I think we're already starting to do this, especially people in sort of our world a little bit, on managing our energy and moving more towards effortlessness, because that was a big change for me in my business. That's how I really, really like had that astronomical growth, was that point where I said, everything I'm doing going forward is going to be effortless. Now, that doesn't mean I don't take action. That doesn't mean I'm not like tired at the end of the day. That does not mean that. It means effortless in that full opening, effortless, full connection. What's my deepest connection? How can I simplify this even more, right? How can I help someone understand this even more? It's that direction. And I think that people are going to realize that the creation of money is that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that. I love that. And I'm so like, we are so going to be working on my business. And I must admit, I love what you said there, because it's again, my experience, and that when you made the decision to everything from here on is going to be effortless, that's when you had the big growth. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that this year I was just sharing this with Taylor is, so in the last financial year, I have done probably half the hours of what I did last financial year. I only work 3 days a week, whereas last year I was easily working 5 days a week and, you know, constantly tapped into the business. I ended up, you know, putting myself into functional burnout just because I loved doing the work, but it was just too much. So I had this, you know, assumption, you know, an unresourceful belief that because I've done so much less, I was really curious to see where the business was at. And we had a look, I was looking at the financials and I was like, and we haven't launched our two biggest programs. Like, we haven't actually had our two biggest programs in this financial year. So that, and that would be, it's probably going to be around sort of 40 to even 50% of our yearly income, right?
Yeah.
We've already done it. And it was like, oh my God. And we've literally just been focusing on doing less, on simplifying, on building our ground floor. And I've got to say, my ego didn't like it. You know, I've really had, you know, had Taylor talk me off a ledge a few times, you know, like
it wasn't, I want to hear those stories.
Yeah. You know, like, there were times, and so I'm a person who, I don't discount prices. I don't do those things. I don't play a lot of the games that other people play, just because it's not within my value system, even though I'm completely trained to do it. Like, when I certified as a master coach, they take you through all the sales, everything, but I don't do it. But like, I was like, maybe we have to go on sale. Maybe we have to do this. And it was like every single fear that I had would pop up, and I just sort of had that momentary freak out, send Taylor a message on Telegram, and then she'd just be like, I think you just need to sleep on that. And sure enough, I'd wake up the next day, emotional authority, be like, you're absolutely right. So one of the things that I think is really fascinating is this whole, and I mean, I'm always guiding my clients to do less and receive more. Can you talk a little bit to that journey? Like, how do people actually transition? You know, how do they transition? How do they build that trust that they can, like you, make a decision from here, it's going to be effortless, and actually allow, but I know you also say that you're a conduit for money. Like, what advice would you give people to sort of start to get to that place where things are easier and they sort of, money does come in without you even realizing it, even if you are like, your ego is going crazy in my case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, when we say effortless, so I think that people have to really be careful that effortless doesn't mean easy. Effortless doesn't mean difficult. Effortless doesn't have anything to do with those words. Effortless, like I said, means full opening. So if you think about it, like, if we could manage our energy like a Jedi master, then we would actually live every single moment in the present moment, because the present moment is the opening of full power. So when you're in the present moment, like right now, I'm in the present moment with you. This is my connection with you, the connection with the listeners. There's nothing that's existing outside of that, right? So that's a powerful moment. If we were the Jedi Masters, we could live every moment of every day like that, but we aren't. So what happens is, when I say effortless, it's how can you show up with full power, connected energy, which is going to go further and sort of get you further than if you were to show up, like, I'll say half-ass, like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so effortless is more about shifting and managing your energy in, and you're almost like seeking the deepest connection moment. Oh, rather God, than the other way around. And so what it does is, if you truly lean into this, it causes you to look at the things that you're doing and even the things that you valued in with a completely different lens, because then you go, wait, I was doing that. So I was making that social post once a week, and that was a consistent action thing, but is that my highest point of connection? Or could that hour be used for a different? And once you do that over and over, then what happens is you end up working less, you're more connected, and the money cannot stop coming to someone who is connected. It just can't. I mean, you've even experienced this in your life where you said when you're doing what you love, that's it.
Yeah.
But when you're doing what you love, though, this is what I've noticed about you, is that you're not only just doing what you love, but you're in full flow with it and you are co-creating. That's 100%. The difference. Because a lot of people can do what they love, but if they're still holding back, they're still hiding, they're still like have this wall, then they can do what they love all day long and they're not going to make any money.
Yes. Oh my God. You're so right. You know, as you were speaking, you were reminding me of this thing that I'm always saying to people, like we have to understand the difference between being out of our comfort zone and being out of alignment. And I think about when I first made the decision, Justin took a retrenchment package, and for some reason I was just like, I'll do it. I'll replace your massive corporate package. And this is at the end of 2019, right? So I had no idea what was around the
corner. Hope he bought you a drink or dinner or
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I think he just went, phew, thanks. But, you know, and that first year, like 2020 for me, my business went from 35,000 a year to 350,000 a year. So it had this massive leap. And I oftentimes think, like, I worked my ass off. I worked my ass off that year. But I was so, it wasn't something that I thought. I didn't think I have to do this. What I felt was I am literally being pushed in this direction. And I sort of said to myself, I'm like, well, I'm prepared to do the things that other people aren't prepared to do. So if I was being, and you know, the podcast, the listeners have heard the story a million times, like that's how I changed the name of the podcast. It's how I started to have my biggest impact. And I was terrified and I thought I was an imposter and how can I do this and da 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 da. But it was that trusting, like you say, like just trusting that energy, trusting that moment, trusting that guidance that's coming through me. And I think that this is, I love what you said, like one thing I have learned is that if I do what I call pull the handbrake, and I used to do this a lot when I was riding horses, and I think it was my greatest undoing because, you know, I was really good. Like I was really good. And if I had just sort of stuck to it and released the handbrake, you know, I could have been really, really good. Like I've represented the state. I got on a junior national team and I reckon I could have gone all the way, but it's because I would ride with what I would call the handbrake. And I've done this in so many areas of my life. And the handbrake is just this feeling that I'm like, I can't fully surrender to that fear, whatever the specific fear is. And I have these really important defining moments in my life. Like with the horses, there's this classic one. I don't know if you know the Roycroft family, but they're one of the leading Australian show jumping teams, like three generations of gold medalists, like amazing, right? And we went to this, I was at one of the training things. I was the youngest in the group. You know, you got handpicked to be at this thing. I was on this horse who I absolutely loved, like an Anglo-Arab of all things, and we're doing a show jumping course, program. And I remember being like really young, really scared, and he put this fence up and it was the biggest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And he said, right, Emma, Toby, you go first. And I just went, I can't do that. And you know what the Australians are known for eventing, right? They are completely fearless. So this man who is just like, I don't give a shit. Don't give a shit how scared you are. Like, just do it. And he turns around to me and he says, well, if that horse can't make this fence, there's not one horse here that will. So get on and do it. And I was like, you know, and I actually remember, like, this is one of those defining moments. And I just said to Toby, I was coming in and I said to him, mate, you're going to have to drive. You know, I was like, I can't even place you. Like, he'd put a rail in front. So, like, I couldn't fuck it up. All I had to do was just sit there. I knew Toby had the scope to do it. And I remember taking off. And in that moment, I have never, ever, ever had so much airtime in my life. And as we're going over this fence, I'm like, fuck. At the top of my lungs, I was like, I hadn't said like one word to anyone the whole time because I'm so introverted and shy, and the only thing they hear come out of my mouth is fuck, while my mother is sitting over in the thing, like,
oh, you're laughing
her ass off at me. But, you know, these are the times in my life, and the reason why I bring it up is, like, that was like, oh my god, I can conquer the world. And one of the things that I've learned to do is exactly that moment, is to jump that fence over and over and over again. And every time it is followed by, fuck, you know, like every single time. But I do it in my business as well. And I literally just got off a call where we just hired an amazing PR person and we've got this really big goal. And I said to her, I feel like I want to vomit. I'm really scared. So I know we're going in the right direction. So I feel like this is something as entrepreneurs, and especially around money, we have to learn to do. And I was listening to your podcast, and I'd love your advice to really help people in this, because it, in my money journey, the hardest thing I've ever done so far is doing something that you talk about a lot on the podcast. And that's actually look at my money. You know, like, look at it, look at the debt, look at the things. Can you talk a little bit to the power of when we stop fearing our money and start actually looking at it? How, although it's terrifying, because as I say, like, it was the scariest thing I ever did with my money, but it was also the thing that flipped everything for me, because all of a sudden I was in control of it, I felt. Can you talk to the power of that, and why do most people, why do we ignore our finances when we want more?
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Yeah, so I think that the first thing is that if people can sort of get their heads around, like, it's not the money. Like, we blame money for a lot of shit. We really do. I mean, it's like, you know, the money is the person that makes that person evil. The money has done all this, the blah, blah. It's our interpretation of what that means, that we don't have the money there, we don't have the money that we want, or the debt, or whatever. And when it comes to debt, like, I talk about this quite a bit in terms of debt, where it's like, we have to really, really give ourselves some forgiveness with any money decision, debt included, because the reality is, it's just like when we're training for a sport or whatever, you know? We can only rise to our level of training. Like, we can't go beyond that. Like, if you want to play professional football or whatever, you can go kick the ball around all you want in the backyard. But until you hire a coach, until you get that next level, you're not going to go beyond it. So what's happened is, we have this, like, people come and they've had this lifetime of the same thing over and over, because we repeat patterns with money, because we feel like those are the things that keep us safe. And then we're like, why don't I have more money? Well, because you've just been repeating the same bad pattern with money all of these years, feeling like it's going to get you more towards money, but it really doesn't. So it's like, how can you change the interpretation of that? And one of the ways is to, I think, just completely bypass it. Like, instead of going back and sort of like having to, like, you know, do surgery on all of our limited beliefs, which is going to take a long time, how about we just bypass it and we just say, okay, well, I'm not really listening to the fact that I don't want to log into my account right now, because that makes me feel awful in my stomach. Because it does. It creates that emotional spectrum thing we were talking about. Mm. Instead, I'm going to spend 30 minutes, and my whole goal is clarity. I don't give two shits about the number or the amount, because that is something that's easy to deal with. What it is it's the behavior and actually valuing, okay, here's the clarity with money. Because you're not going to meet a wealthy person that doesn't invest, right? You have to invest, because that's the exponential growth of money. You can't work enough hours in your life to become a billionaire. billionaires are going to use the amplification of money, right? So that's the number one thing. You have to invest. But if you don't look at your money and you don't even know what the cash in and cash out is, how do you know how much you have to invest? So it's like a predecessor almost.
Oh my God, I love it. And it is exactly that, you know, like we're afraid to look in the dark cupboard, but the magic lies in the dark cupboard. Like when we build the clarity around it, that's when everything changes. I know for me, I was really scared about that journey and I put it off for years, you know, years actually looking at it and taking my power back. And now I know where pretty much every dollar goes, and not in a control freak kind of way, but just in a, you know, I've cleaned up, you know, I've cleaned house kind of thing. So I'm really aware of it. The next great fear for me, and, you know, fear and excitement all in the same thing, is you say we have to invest. And this, I feel like, is another place where, and I've shared on the podcast before, I've shared with you that we've started investing in crypto, and Justin's very much into that. He loves it. I went through this training program and it was kind of interesting till halfway. And then I was like, I'm not interested anymore. It's boring. However, there is this part of me, you know, definitely it's aligned to why I'm on the planet, is like, there's this independence within me that I really want. You know, it's why I'm working with you. I want to learn how to be really confident and invest, and not only for me, but for the generations to be able to teach the kids. We met these amazing people traveling. Their 14-year-old or 12-year-old has 65K in crypto just from watching this guy, this kid on YouTube, and investing a tiny bit of his pocket money every single week, or 10% of his pocket money, you know, being really clever about it, obviously. So it's like, I want this to be accessible to everybody. So I have to face my fear, because to me it's totally daunting and scary. And I'm sure that's why you came into my life, because you're not daunting and scary. And this is the next place, like the next dark cupboard that I want to look in and I want to learn about it. So what's your insight? Why am I so afraid of the whole investment world?
Well, I think in all fairness to you and a lot of people listening to this, I think that the financial world has strategically hidden a lot of stuff from people. I think that for the last like 30 plus years, it's been very much like a veil has been in front of it, right? It's almost like, okay, well, you need to go out and learn how to make money, but you're not good enough to manage your money. You need to pay me to manage your money. And then, oh, by the way, you need to pay me quarterly for the rest of your life to manage your money, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of that, another thing was, we really didn't have the systems before. So when we were taught about money, then a lot of our parents had to hire someone to buy stocks or to buy, you know, more real estate or whatever. And then that became sort of like, okay, the stigma was, well, that's just for wealthy people, or that's just when you have extra money or something. Like, it never was integrated as like, no, this is like a foundation for you, you know,
yeah.
Like, this is something that why would you not do this? Because like, another thing I'll say about this is that it's actually better for our economy for people to work 45 years and then retire and just be quiet and do nothing. What people don't realize, and I don't think that everyone wants people to know, that you can strategically work for 10 and be fine.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. I feel like there's like a massive amount of the population, the projectors, reflectors, and manifestors that are jumping up and down right now, you know, like these energy types. It's okay for the MGs like you and me and the generators, like we are here to work, but define our work, you know. It doesn't mean we have to work hard. But I like the difference I see in Justin, that he's, you know, he's trading crypto as a projector who has two defined centers. Like, he's a different human. He's a completely different human. So I love this idea, and I love this concept that, you know, we can retire ourselves at you know, after 10 years or at 45. I think that's, or after 45 years. Like, that's freaking brilliant. How do we do it? Yeah. Simple question, very big answer that we probably can't answer all today, but how do we do it?
Yeah. Well, we'll try. So, definitely kind of what I was saying at the beginning when the horses came in, right? So you have to get your why, because you're probably not going to be motivated by money. I'm saying, especially spiritual entrepreneurs and all that. So you've really, really got to get your why. You've got to get behind that. And then you have to start seeing money as a practice, not something that you can do or avoid, like we talked about. Like, money is an integrated practice in your life. Every time you go to the grocery store and you choose the item that is a dollar less, only to ask yourself, like, why am I doing that? What caused me to do that? What's my interpretation of that, right? You just have to start actually using the world around you to actually self-reflect. Another thing would be one of the things we talked about, like, stop deciding how money can come to you, because that's a decision based on your past, right? Mm. Be much more open to that, right?
I love that.
And then when you can get that clarity on that money, then what that does is creates a stronger relationship with money. Yeah. Because that's the worst thing that people do is they're like, oh, they hold it at arm's length. They're like, it's like a bad friend, right? Oh, you know, like, I don't want to see you. I don't want to call you, but you better show up when I need you, kind of thing, right? You've got to create that relationship. So it's like bringing it in. And then when you start investing, people get all hung up on the amount, like, oh, I don't have enough to invest. Oh, well, yeah, like you do, because you, once you start prioritizing your money, it's just, you have to sort of get your head around the fact that, you know, don't let it be okay to go spend $100 on, you know, a shitty dinner that you didn't even halfway like, and then, but you won't pay $100 for owning a piece of Amazon. Like, you have to sort of shift that, because I think that one of the things that people think is that if you have $1 million stock account, then it's, first of all, it's taken you a long time to get there. You've had to put all of this money in. But what they don't realize is that, yeah, you are putting quite a bit of money in the beginning, but then because that money is making money, which is making money, which is making money, then, like, I have a lot of investments where I can track back. Like, I can track, like, a $400,000 asset I have now that I put $25,000 into.
Yeah,
because it's amplified so much, right? So let's get away from thinking that we have to actually earn every dollar to be able to turn into that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting. It's just reminded me of something that Justin, you know, ever since he started investing, he's like, it seems really obvious, but it's really like affected him at a cellular level, is he's like, God, I was so reactionary. He'd be like, I was so reactionary. I couldn't see the value in putting $1,000 into something because I needed that $1,000 now. But if I'd put that $1,000 in then, I'd have $100,000 now. And it's that really, like you say, and he talks about, like, just changing that mindset to being a more of a long-term mindset, and just knowing that you can put it in there. But it's not that short term, like, what's it doing for me? It's like, you just work your magic. And over time, that's why how people get wealthy. And I think from being a person that's lived in scarcity, like, we lived paycheck to paycheck for a really long time. We sold, I know you're going to cringe at this, we sold our Apple shares, like, you name it, we've done it, because we needed the money. And now that we're in this place where it just feels so much easier, it's crazy to think that I feel that when you're in that place of scarcity, or you feel like you don't have the money, or you don't have the money to sign up to something, or you don't have the money to do the thing that you want to do, or go on the holiday, or start the business, or whatever it is, you feel like the gap between there and abundance is so big. And one of the things that I've learned is it is just a stone throw away. It's a fucking stone throw away, you know, like, and for me, that was one of the big game changers, you know, knowing that, and it all comes down to mindset as well, you know, like, what are you making that moment mean? And changing it from, you know, oh God, I'm not there yet, or I need more, or I don't have enough, to I'm one step closer. I know it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Because definitely my wealth story, as I say, like, I went from 35 to 350 in 2020, wow, you know, in 12 months. And the business has just, you know, just got really, really amplified. And what is really interesting is I hear you speak and I'm like, oh my God, I did that. Oh my God, that's what I did. You know, I was really aware of my defined solar plexus and money. It really affected my money, my mood, when I was in my high, when I was in my low. So I just started, you know, not getting into anything to do with money in my high or in my low. And all of a sudden my bank account evened out, my income evened out. Like, really just starting to play with the energetics of it has been incredibly helpful. Yeah. Oh my God. I love this. I love this conversation. I could talk to you for hours. I just want to end on this note because this is something that I've learned and I want your advice on it because I've realized that I believe everyone can have it. Can money be easy and fun?
The more that money is easy and fun, the more it comes to you because it's a sustainable state of energy and allowing, right? And so when money is easy and fun, then it doesn't actually feel like you are making money or doing anything with money, right? And you see this a lot with really wealthy people, right? So imagine like the conversations that are going on with really wealthy people, or you know, you were around them, right? There's just a certain ease and flow of money. There's not this, oh my God, you know, you just stepped on that and it costs $20. I have to rebuy it. Kind of, there's not that.
Yeah.
And so I would almost say like, it's not, can it? It's when are you going to experience the moment? Because that's what you're actually looking for.
Oh my right? God. I love that. I love that. So good. Yeah. Is there anything else that you like, if you would have everyone know one important truth about money, what would you want them to know?
Well, you brought up a really good example with your husband that I think a lot of people can relate to. So I think that anything that someone can relate to their core would be something that I would want for them to sort of, you know, embody as a truth, which would be, you know, you said that your husband looked back and he wished that he could have just taken the $1,000 and just been like energetically aligned with, there it is. This is what it's going to do. So he is wishing that he had money neutrality. So I think if everyone can look at that and think of their own example, because everyone has one of those examples, right? Where they wish that they could have been in more money neutrality. And then what is the difference now? Why is it not a good idea now to be in money neutrality if your inner wisdom is telling you that that was a good idea back then?
Yeah, I love that. And it brings us back to, you know, the most important truth is that we do have all the answers inside of us and we can trust our own internal guidance system and the universe. And through human design, we call that strategy and authority, even with money. And it's totally be in my world. And I've got so many other things that I want to say, but I'm super respectful of your time. So thank you so much for being here on the podcast. I'm just pumped to talk to you every single time.
Oh God, I know. I told you when we got onto this, I just love like sharing the space with you. Just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So great.
I love it. I love it. Maybe that's a money block moving.
Yeah, I know. We're getting rid of that last money block, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I got to hear more horse stories, by the way. I loved your horse story. I can tell just by looking at you, you're a phenomenal writer. How can you see things like that? Because you've had this experience before where like you can look at someone and you can tell something about them.
But I think a lot of that's because if I look at it through the frame of human design, it's because I've got an open G center. So I see people's highest expression. I see them without fear, like what their soul identity is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So your G center is one of your superpowers because you're a vessel of love, but you're radiating out. I take in, you radiate out your higher self identity. So when you turn up, we actually experience you as your higher self and being a vessel of love and the gates that you have activated, that's why everyone like just wants to be with you and wants to be in your aura because you just radiate this unconditional love because that's what lives in the G center. I take in that because mine's wide open. I amplify it and I reflect it back. So one of the things that's really cool is you're like, oh my God, I love being in your energy. I'm like, awesome, but it's really your energy. You know, like you're in your own energy. Like there's some of it that's really mine. You know, people are really drawn to my level of enthusiasm, which again, I used to hide because I used to feel goofy and embarrassing and, you know, I've never grown out of my childlike enthusiasm. but it's also one of my superpowers, and it's the thing people always say, oh my God, I love being in your energy. And I'm sure it's that. I'm sure it's that childlike enthusiasm, the wide-eyed enthusiasm that I have for people and life and stories and that sort of thing. But yeah. So yeah, I think a lot of the time, especially being a vessel of love, and I know so many vessel of loves, I reckon a lot of the time you guys are in those moments that you get to hang out with someone like me who's got a wide open G center, you actually get to experience what we experience all the time coming from you. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. This stuff blows my mind. And I have to say, like, you are amazing. Your level of understanding on this is like, I mean, I always knew that human design was like, I've always been drawn to it to like learn more about it. But really watching your stuff, I was like, wow, you've taken it to a whole other level. I think that you simplify it and make it like where it's digestible, because it's very complex and very multi-layered.
Yeah.
Which brings more people into the aura of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And it was, you know, when it was first brought into the world, it was kind of kept separate. It was the guru. He was the guru. And anyone who defied that got kicked out of the group, you know, got kicked out of the club. So I think that the actual energy of human design, like, I've done a lot of energy clearing of the energy that's on me because of human design, because it actually didn't come in a very sort of clean energetic way. He was very narcissistic, control freak, did a lot of anger, like an unresourceful manifestor, like, you know, all of his unresourceful or shadow states. And over time he evolved and healed a lot of that, but it's so much unresourceful energy was brought in when human design was brought in. And I think one of the things, the way that I teach it in the nature of me, you say, like, I can sort of bring everything together. Like, that's part of my purpose. You know, I have the gate 16, and the gate 16 is all about, and it's in my design earth. So a really prominent place. It's actually what Richard Rudd, who does the Gene Keys, calls your purpose. So it's all about learning, creating skills. And that what that does is, when you're learning and creating skills over time, you create, that's what people call naturally talented. And it's funny, because a lot of people, especially with the horses, they would always say, you're naturally talented to me. And I'm like, all right, but I'm on this horse's back 5 days a week, and I'm, you know, I'm doing the work, and I'm learning from, you know, if I'm focused on show jumping, then I'm with a show jumping coach. If I'm focused on dressage, and I'm with a dressage coach. If I'm focused on cross country, I'm with a cross country coach. And, you know, even when I just did dressage, I trained my horses, you know, we did cross country once a week. We did all these other, everything else we still did, even though we weren't competing. And it's a lot of why I'm on the earth, is how I can bring all these things together. And then over time that becomes mastery, and I become a master of things because I turn it into my own thing. So once I've done the 10,000 hours, that's what I believe that we're all seeing out there in my social media world, and we're getting so much feedback. You know, this is what my book's focused on. It's everything that we sort of, you know, aligning the brand with now is this HD made simple. And it's my design. That's what I'm here to do. I'm really here to make it really actionable for people. Like, I don't give a stuff how it got here. I'm not really interested even about what's in it to make it that complicated synthesis or system. That doesn't really matter. What matters to me is, what are the actions I can take to get the results so that I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, playing, we're doing the work I love, like all of these things. Like, that's all I care about. Am I getting the results, or am I not getting the results? Like, am I aligned to my soul, or am I operating from my ego? And from my point of view, I think that's why my brand is different, because I don't give a shit. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to be the guru either. I just want to make sure everyone else is getting the results. I want them to be the guru. So yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting. I love the journey, and it's so funny, like with human design myself, like, I resisted it completely the first three times I came to it. And even this morning when we were having the conversation about some of the particular places that we're going to go with it, I was kind of like, oh God, here I go again. Like I have to talk about something in an environment that isn't going to be easily receptive. You know, they're not people that are like, obviously the podcast and those sort of things, people come to it because they want to, but we want to start to take it into places where I would take my behavioral stuff, you know, my profiling tools or, you know, behavioral coaching. And like I said earlier, like that's often walking into a room with a lot of crossed arms because people don't want to be there and they don't believe in it. So it's that job of going, yeah, let me show you. It'll get you results fast. So, it's exciting. I love it. And I love the challenge of it. I suppose there's this real balance between me of the handbrake me and the, you know, fuck, I'm just going to do it me, you know, like, but it's part of the journey, right?
It's interesting because when you were talking about the how it's, you really don't care. It's just like, you don't care about the complexities of it. You just care, are you simplifying it? Or are you putting it out there? And are you happy? Are you healthy? Are you wealthy? All of this stuff, right? Like it's the journey part of it. Well, you describe neutrality. And that's also when you make the most money.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that. Oh my God. And you absolutely, I'm just having one of those moments. Like you're bang on, you know, I don't, I'm not attached to any of that stuff. I'm not even attached to getting it right. It's like, I'm just the scientist. If the results, if it's repeatable and gets results, I'm in, you know, but yeah. And that's a large part of the story with human design as well, because I feel like so many people are using human design in a disempowering way because they're just teaching the knowledge and they're really attached to getting it right. Or the other end of the scale is, oh, I just channeled this additional part to it. Really? Like you might have just channeled something, but does it work? I channel shit all the time, but have you tested it? You know, and I think that's the piece for me is that I've always known in my personal development journey, the thing that's bugged me the most is when I don't get the results. And through my entire journey, because the one thing you hear over and over again, and you'll hear it come out of my mouth over and over again, is that, okay, am I taking responsibility for my results? Am I in this moment taking responsibility? Is that why this thing is not working? And that's been one of the real defining things for me in my personal development journey, because I used to always think it was me. So I started at one extreme where, okay, well, I have to take full responsibility for this. So if I'm not getting the results, it's something I'm not doing. But what I've learned over time is that I can run things to the letter and people are just selling me a dodgy program, you know, or people are telling me something that they don't actually know works. They're just like, well, someone else taught me this, so you should do it. And one of the things that I've learned through my journey is, and I am a line three, so, you know, experience is big for me, is that if I'm not actually getting those results or if I don't know that works for me and other people, like I've got this thing that I'm teaching in a purpose a masterclass in a couple of weeks. And this thing came to me a number of weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I've been testing it out on everyone, like probably 30, 40 people. I've been running this. I've been looking at like 50 different charts of people that I know. And I'm like, gold, that's it. That's it. That's it. But what I see so much happening is that people are so busy trying to get their content out. They don't know if it actually works. And because they don't know if it actually works, they're not even setting that intention. The energy's not going. So every time, and this happens to me all the time, like when someone signs up for my programs, and it happened in the Purpose and Abundance, before we'd even had the first class, people would be like, oh my God, I'm already making more money. And I'm like, it's because I know this shit works. Because you've entered into something that I'm like, this shit works. I know it works because I've tested it over the last two decades and, you know, thousands of hours of coaching. So, yeah, a massive rant. But I think that's one of the things that and it's why I'm really drawn to you, because you've got the freaking results. You've got the runs on the board, not just for you, but for lots of other people. You know, I know other people that have worked with you, but you can always also tell the language, your energy, everything. And I think this is one of my primary goals. I want everyone to feel that way. I want everyone to feel like I've got this gift. I've got this thing. I know this thing works. Because when we all come from that place, instead of oh my God, I need to make this much money, or, oh my God, look at my lovely life and my pretty bags and pretty shoes. And I'm not knocking, like, I've had plenty of pretty bags and pretty shoes in my life. I'm just at the point now that I'd much rather go on holiday or, you know, like have some amazing experience. But this is the piece for me. And I think human design is the thing that's going to guide us all back to that place where we can get out and we can stand in our full truth and say, this is really good. I love it. It works. I know it's going to make your life different. I know it's going to make your life better. And I know it's going to give you a power back, or it's going to help you do this, or it's going to help you do that. Instead of, at the moment, I feel like there's lots of people kind of chasing their tails, reselling, if you like, knowledge that they actually don't fully believe in. And yeah, that's the thing that I want to help people not do that anymore, and to step into a place where they really feel it. Like the people that have been in my HDX, I've got people that started first round of HDX and they're still here today. And, you know, they've started businesses and now it's just a resource they use with all their clients. And they just knew that they could do it because they're in this environment where we just take imperfect action and we make it happen because we see the results all around us in our community. We believe in ourselves. We trust ourselves. And that, I think, is what's going on in this whole personal development world, is that there's lots of people jumping in, boots and all, but they don't believe themselves. They don't believe that this works, or this works for them, or whatever. And that's why they're not making their $10,000 a month, because they don't believe in themselves. If you just learn to believe in you, then you can make as much money as you want. That's what I think. That's what I feel is true. Yes, we have to go on certain journeys and face our fears and definitely support ourselves with coaches and leaders and that sort of thing. But it's always coming back to self-love, trust and acceptance. Like, that's the key. That's what we're trying to create. But anyway, that's my rant.
Oh my God. I love it. You know, just even listening to you talk about this, like, you already know this, but I think, you know, I appreciate the fact that I now have such a deep understanding of more of what you do, but also that you and I were doing similar things. You are also opening people up to money. You already know that. Like, yeah, the people that work with you become more of a conduit for money because of the way that you are helping them to understand themselves and how to show up and how to, that connection piece that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really interesting because effectively you are teaching, like, money neutrality. You are teaching these concepts. You're just presenting it. While I might be teaching investing.
Yeah.
It's just a different vehicle, right?
Yeah.
It's like just a different point on the spectrum. Wow. That's really amazing, Emma.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that. I'm so freaking excited. Elizabeth Ralph, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I could talk to you all day. And I'm so freaking excited to be working with you for the next, 5-6 months and into the future. I'm so excited. So thanks for joining me today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on and for co-creating this amazing, amazing podcast episode, and just being the channel for all of this information, all the information that you put out there, and, you know, helping people step into their money and step into their wealth and become a conduit for money.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just, I can feel it that we are going to do something really cool together in the future. I just know we're going to do something amazing in the future, and not just for you and me, for others.
Yes, exactly.
So I look forward to that time as well. It's going to be exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks everyone for joining us today. And I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.